What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back.
Real quick, before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to thank everybody who has left us a rating and review. We have over 5,000 ratings on Spotify, which is freaking insane, and we love you guys so much. But if you have not left us a rating and or review, sorry for my dogs fighting, then we would absolutely love for you to do that. It just helps us grow, helps tell Spotify and Apple or wherever you're listening that you like the podcast and that they should recommend it to more people. And we so appreciate that because we want to keep doing this, and growing helps that. So if you are listening on Apple or Spotify, you can leave ratings. If you're listening on Apple, you can leave a review. And I think on a couple other platforms you can leave ratings, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I feel like there was at least one more that maybe like Podchaser or something. I don't remember.
But I know a bunch of y'all listen on Spotify. So if you listen on Spotify or Apple and haven't left a rating and review, we would so appreciate it. And that is the end of my shameless plug.
Yeah. And thank you guys for being understanding with everyone being sick. Haley and her family.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Has had COVID, the big C-nasty. And then my son has like a sinus infection. So he was out of school for a couple of days. So
yeah,
we've been on the struggle bus.
And I know a lot of people that have kids have been being hit hard. I mean, my son had RSV. He's 4 months old. He had RSV, and then 3 weeks later, COVID. So, and then COVID hit me. So I texted Andrea when we were supposed to record the first episode for this week. And I was like, hey, I can't. I'm really sick. And then last week's episode, Andrea did solo. And I'm so disappointed because it seemed like a really good episode. I have yet to listen because life. I was so upset, but I literally texted her. I was like, yeah, we're in the ER getting my baby checked out because he has COVID now. So thank you guys for being understanding.
Yeah. And we always try to communicate like what's going on. So if we don't have an episode, we'll try to make it up to you some way, somehow. But
yeah. And always, you can always look on Instagram or Facebook if you're not sure like why an episode's not out. We'll always post on there about it.
Yeah.
What's going on?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into today's case. And I feel like this was a suggested case, but maybe not. I can't remember. I'm sorry if you suggested this case. Thank you. If not, then
yes, thank you.
Thank you anyway. When we think of the missing and murdered Indigenous, the faces that often flutter in our minds are usually that of the thousands of Indigenous women who have disappeared or been killed. But sadly, it does not stop there.
Yeah.
There are also many Indigenous men and young boys who have gone missing and been murdered across this country as well.
I feel like that's something, like you just said, like you, I mean, when you said it, it's like, yeah, duh, of course there are, but you do not hear about that at all. I mean, you barely hear about missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Yeah. I feel like of all the demographics, Indigenous people are the most underreported. I mean, it's just a problem in our country. I don't know about elsewhere, but it's definitely a huge problem. Just people of color in general. I mean, we've talked about this thousands of times on the podcast, but today I'm going to be sharing with you one of those cases, and this is the case of Matthew Leroy.
Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode.
Boy, Ray, Rattlesnake, Grant.
Yeah, I 100% have never heard his name.
I bet many people have not.
Right.
According to the FBI website, Matthew Rattlesnake Grant's body was found on the evening of December 31st, 2016, in an alley between the College Homes and South Glacier Homes neighborhoods on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in Browning, Montana. The FBI's Salt Lake City Division, the Shelby Resident Agency, and the Blackfeet Law Enforcement Services are asking for the public's assistance in identifying the person or persons responsible for the murder of Matthew. If you have any information concerning Matthew's case, please contact the FBI's Salt Lake City Field Office at 833-345-7872. Or you may reach out to your local FBI office, and I will have a link listed in the show notes down below that kind of takes you to a general directory, and you can find your local FBI branch.
Great.
Matthew Rattlesnake Grant was born on October 31st, 1995, in Wetaskiwin, Edmonton, Census Division, Alberta, Canada, to his mother, Eileen Rattlesnake, and his father, Ray Grant. When Matthew was young, his parents separated and his father moved back to Montana where his family lived. So as a child, Matthew split time between his parents in both Canada and Montana. Matthew had five siblings, Cheyenne Rattlesnake Grant, Elena, Everly, Hunter, and AJ Rattlesnake. Those that knew Matthew said that he was always seen smiling and that he had this incredible ability to cheer anyone up no matter how saddened they were.
Oh, I can just like imagine that type of person. Like
I know. And he was so handsome. He looked like he just had this like air about him, you know?
Right. Like charm.
Like just, yeah, like an aura around him. Yeah. Matthew could bring humor into any situation, and he had a larger-than-life personality and a huge heart and was always striving to make people laugh. Matthew also had such a soft spot for his siblings and younger cousins, and he always encouraged them to live life to the fullest. Matthew loved his family unconditionally. Like, there's no doubt about that. Everyone in his family had that to say about him.
That's so just precious, and like his siblings, and just
I know you can, and just, it's also so heartbreaking,
yeah, knowing obviously something not good is gonna happen because this is a true crime podcast, but it just I don't know, I'm like trying to put my thoughts into words because it just makes me so sad to hear that. Because it's like you
but
want
it's like heartwarming at the same time. Like you want to be like and heartwarming.
Yeah. I want to say, oh, that's so amazing that he was so loved and so loving and kind and so many people like thought that about him. But knowing what's going to happen or assuming what's going to happen, it's so freaking heartbreaking. And I mean, every victim we talk about is amazing. But just hearing that everybody in his family had something amazing to say about him, I feel like that hit me different.
Yeah. So on top of his amazing personality, he was also a very talented artist, and one of his favorite hobbies was drawing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Matthew was last seen on December 15th, 2016. According to the Facebook page, Justice for Matthew Grant, the night he went missing, he was seen getting into a black pickup truck. The driver was described as a woman with bleached blonde hair and wearing glasses, and she was with a younger man who came to the front door asking for Matthew.
Interesting.
His aunt Fonda, whom he had been living with, later told police that this young man got out of the vehicle, knocked on their door, and asked for Matthew. And Matthew, who had been in his room, jumped up and went to the door. Fonda asked him where he was going, and he simply stated that he would be right back.
So that's clearly, he was like, I'm not going to be gone for long. I'll be right back.
Yeah, like going to run an errand or going to do something real quick. But also, right.
And I don't know what you're going to say about the investigation, but if they try to say like, oh, he left willingly or he ran away or whatever, yeah. Clearly not, because he was like, I'll be right back.
And it seems to me, just, you know, guessing, that he didn't want to tell her where he was going. So he just simply put it as that. But he was also 21, so he didn't really need to tell her all the details. But you know,
I feel like that's such a weird space of like when you live at home with your parents, but
or
you're
aunt.
Older,
yeah.
Or yeah. Aunt, yeah, like yeah. an adult figure in your life,
right?
That you, but you're old enough that like you don't necessarily have to tell them where you're going, but like you don't want to just be like, bye, or not say anything, because yeah. That's kind of weird. That's just like you're almost like a roommate. I feel like that's always such a weird
dynamic in between.
So it's like, did he not want to tell her, or was it just normal for him to like, you know, just be like, I'll be right back, not saying like, oh, I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been their relationship. Like, hey, I'm leaving. All right. See you later.
Yeah.
But
I feel like
I would want to
know. My husband. Yeah, I would want to know too. My husband and I both lived at home for a year after college when we were still just dating, before we moved in together. And so we were both living with our parents, and then COVID happened like 6 months later. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really like, we didn't experience this quite as much. But my husband is more of the like, I'll be right back type of person, like not explaining where he's going to go. Whereas I would tell my parents like, oh, I'm going to the grocery store. Oh, I'm going to pick up something from the mall, like yeah. Whatever it might be. But so I can see both sides of it, because
yeah.
It's like it really just depends on your relationship, your personality, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
no, you're right.
I feel like it makes an investigation more difficult, because it that could be the difference of like, was he not hiding something, but was there something going on?
Yeah,
withholding, or was it literally just an innocent like, I'm gonna go run an errand and I'll be back.
Right. Because when I was an adult and I lived at home, I had to tell my mom where I was going. Like, she didn't give me a choice.
That too.
So yep, that's probably why my mind was like, did he not want to tell
yeah.
her something? That's probably
yeah.
why I was thinking like that.
Yeah. But it sees, so it's like hard. It depends on your experience and
yeah.
like the investigators that would look into this. It depends on their experience of how they would interpret that.
Yep.
And I feel like that could really sway the investigation.
Right.
Also, I am so sorry if you hear my baby chatting in the background. He has discovered his voice, and I'm trying to keep him quiet, but
it's okay.
Just,
it's not,
I apologize.
It's not bothering me, and I can hear it, so hopefully it doesn't bother anyone else. So he told Fonda he would be right back, but he didn't come right back. And in fact, that was the last time Fonda would ever see Matthew alive. His family members utilized social media to spread awareness about Matthew's disappearance, and they pled to the community for his safe return. So Matthew had moved from Canada to Montana about a year before he went missing, hoping to achieve a better life for himself. And he had been staying with his late father, Ray's sister in Browning. And he was like trying to get a job, and he was trying to, because, you know, Canada to Montana, like that's, you're considered like you have to have like a passport, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like trying to get all of his stuff established in Montana so he could get like a decent job and things like that. So he was definitely making moves to better his life, which leads me to believe that he was planning on being around for, you know, a while.
Right. That makes sense.
After his family attempted to report him missing, they begged for the police to help them search for Matthew, but they were met with resistance.
Of course.
So the police basically said that he was probably out partying, according to Matthew's other aunt, Rhonda Grant Connolly. So this is something we see all the time, especially in adults that go missing across the board, you know, never mind on reservations and tribal land and things like that. You know, they ran away.
Oh, no, they didn't. They did not freaking run away.
Drunk somewhere or high somewhere or partying somewhere. And it's like adult people go missing all the time.
Yeah. And if they are drunk or partying somewhere, I get like not wanting to put resources to something that's not going to be
fruitful
and actual. Yeah.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you rather do that and find people than like how many times did you say it was a runaway and it was actually a runaway? I feel like that's less than the amount of times that you said it was a runaway and it was not. So why don't we just treat it as not a runaway, especially when family members or friends or people who know them are like, no, this isn't normal for them. They wouldn't have run away, or like they were doing things like getting their passport and, you know, like making it seem like they were planning to stay.
Right. Yeah.
Why would you assume it's a runaway?
Is like, listen to the family, listen to their loved ones, their significant other, whoever. Because if they have a history of running away or going missing or, you know, MIA for days on end, sure. Let's give it a couple of days and see what happens. But when they have no history of that and their families are saying, please look for my loved one, like, let's just get one person out there. That's all we need. Yeah. Just somebody out there doing something. Yeah. And in some cases, the police do an excellent job of hopping on it and taking it seriously.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not even like fully on the police, like we as a society in general, like because you and I have covered a lot of cases like this, I feel like we think about it more and we're like, no, I would never assume they're a runaway. Mm-hmm. But honestly, before I started reading about this, I probably wouldn't have thought like that because it's, you know, you don't, unless you're like reading and hearing about a lot of cases like this, you just assume, yeah, they ran away. Like, okay, that would make
sense.
Teens
do that. Young people do that. Yeah.
It's not even just the police or investigators. It's society in general.
Yeah. And it's policy sometimes too. So sometimes it's completely just out of their hands.
Yeah, they literally can't unless they go against their higher ups or their policy, their guidelines, what they literally have to do for their job that they could probably get fired for. I feel like that's more of the case, is like it's not that they don't care or that they actually do think it's a runaway, but that's just what they're taught to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Clearly, we're very passionate about this.
Yeah. Well, I feel like too, we get comments that we don't like law enforcement. We don't support law enforcement. And that honestly cannot be further from the truth.
Yeah.
But we give credit where credit's due. And if it's not there, we're not going to give it. So, you know, in this case, it seems like they kind of dropped the ball a little bit. So there's no credit. There's no credit due.
Yeah.
So unable to count on law enforcement, Matthew's family and community were forced to search for him on their own. They even had to Google the safe and correct ways to search for a missing person.
Wow. That and there like, are resources out there. There have been several cases we've covered where either family members have created websites like that to help people in this exact situation, or we've talked about like those resources. So there are resources like that. So that's a good thing. But that is just so heartbreaking that like families have to do that, and that his family had to be the ones doing this.
Right. And luckily they did have some of that type of support. So there's an organization called the Silent Warriors Coalition. And basically what they do is they created this Facebook page essentially to support individuals or families who are suffering from the effects of drug and alcohol abuse and the problems that come along with it. And their Facebook page states that their main goal is to give help where help is needed. So whether it's supporting, you know, addicts or families of addicts, they also, you know, utilize it in this case of a missing person.
Right.
So there are you know, there are smaller organizations that you can reach out to that can help, but not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that they have those resources available.
No, I mean, again, if we weren't in the true crime community, I'd probably have no clue.
Yeah. So according to a Silent Warrior Coalition member, Diana Bird, there were young people going door to door searching for Matthew, and they were going to areas that most people would be too scared to go to. So they were going, you know, these young individuals were going door to door searching for Matthew on their own, you know, to help out his family. And I mean, they were brave enough to go into like the seedier areas of town just to, to hopefully find him.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I know.
And then something could have happened to them too.
I know. So luckily they were, from what I can gather, they were in small groups.
Okay, that's good.
So, and this Silent Warrior Coalition, you know, they understand that they don't have a lot of resources because they are on tribal land. So they try to help as much as they can in the Blackfeet community. And I'll link their information in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
So after 10 days of searching for Matthew on their own, law enforcement finally stepped in to assist with the search. But by this point, it was too late.
Oh, no.
After 2 long weeks of being hopeful their loved one would return home safely, Matthew's family instead endured the unimaginable. On December 31st, 2016, Matthew's body was discovered in an alley between 2 neighborhoods in Browning, 4 miles from his home.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, I don't know if you know this or if you're going to say this, but like how long it had been since he, what?
So, yeah, no, we don't know. So he was missing for 2 weeks. So he definitely was not there the whole time.
Yeah.
So his family thinks that he was either being held somewhere against his will and then disposed of in this alley, or he was killed that night and then kept somewhere. Regardless, he was obviously kept somewhere for 2 weeks and then disposed of in this alley.
It wouldn't make sense if he was killed that night somewhere else and then kept somewhere else and then disposed of in an alley. Like if it was in a grave or you know, in the middle of the forest, that would make sense that somebody would put him there later. But in an alley, like why wouldn't you just leave him where he was? So that is even more frustrating because that probably means he was alive and could have been found.
Right. And that's what I lean more towards too, is that he was kept somewhere against his will for those 2 weeks and then murdered and left to be found. Which is so like scary to even think about what he went through.
Yeah.
According to his aunt, Rhonda Grant Connolly, he had frozen ice in his hair and he was covered in snow. His shirt was partially pulled up like someone had lifted him out of a vehicle and just tossed him there. It was apparent that Matthew had been murdered. And while his death has been classified as a homicide, investigators have not released his exact cause of death.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you know, due to the climate and the conditions, like the environmental conditions, it wasn't obvious to anyone else, you know, just by looking at him, what his cause of death was. So his, as far as I can tell, his family doesn't even know what happened. And maybe that is to protect the integrity of the case.
Right.
So I'm not going to, you know, put any negativity towards that.
Right.
Because they always have their reasons and usually it's to protect the integrity of the case.
But it's still so frustrating.
I know it is, because I feel like that could be telling.
Mm-hmm. And not even that we're entitled to know, but just like the family.
Like the family. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you imagine somebody in your family being murdered and you don't even know how?
No, I would not sleep.
Yeah.
I would just be like in my brain 24/7. According to one of Matthew's cousins, Walker Lyons, Matthew had found out, and this is so fucking sad. Matthew had found out shortly before his death that he was going to be a father. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he, there's not a lot of details, but I did read that he did have a son. So, yeah.
He had just found out. Oh.
I know. And he was just a baby himself. Yeah. Like, to have his life cut short at such a young age is just so unfair.
Yeah.
Their family continues to seek justice for Matthew as his murderers are still walking free today. Diana Bird of the Silent Warrior Coalition said, quote, "These people are running in our communities and the majority of the community knows who they are. Yet we just sit here at the mercy of the state." So according to Matthew's family, obviously there's a lot of rumors. I mean, this is a very tight-knit community, you know, and there has been a lot of talk and there's been a lot of speculation and rumors as to who did this to him, but for whatever reason they just haven't been able to gather enough evidence, I guess, and make an arrest, or they're just waiting on the smoking gun. I don't know.
It's so frustrating because it's like they might have a lot more than, you know, what they're saying.
Right. Yeah.
And there might be something, like you said, the smoking gun they're just waiting for.
Yeah.
But it's also the case, it might just, there might not be a lot more. Like, yeah, it might be.
That's what I think.
That this is really it. And they just don't have anything to go off of.
It seems to me like they just need somebody to come forward and, yeah, and confirm, you know, whatever evidence they may have. Because, I mean, this happened in 2016. So it's been, what, 7 years?
Almost 8 years.
So, you know, if they had something, I feel like an arrest would have been made by now.
Yeah. Like, the odds they're waiting for that one thing to be able to arrest him, I feel like, dwindles.
Yeah.
As time goes on and on.
Absolutely. Matthew's family, along with many others who have dealt with this horrible tragedy, continue to push for change every single day. They know that the main issue they are faced with is jurisdiction. There needs to be better communication between the federal and tribal governments, where there is currently a huge disconnect.
Yeah, and we've heard that before in other cases.
Yeah. I feel like every Indigenous person's case that I've covered on this podcast, that has been the main issue.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, you know, back in like the 1800s, they passed a bill or a law that said that, you know, Indigenous people are kind of in charge of their own police work, law enforcement, government, but I don't think that they're getting resources. And that's another issue, is that there needs to be an increase in funding so Indigenous people have better resources in these situations.
Yeah.
I understand not wanting to step on toes because, you know, this is their land. But there needs to be better and more clear protocols for when Indigenous people go missing. And it seems like there's just nothing.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's just like you're on your own.
Yeah.
The Blackfeet Reservation is home to less than 11,000 people. And in such a close-knit tribal community, sadly, almost everyone knows someone who has been affected by this issue. In an attempt to ensure other families in their community don't experience what they have gone through, Matthew's aunt Rhonda founded a group called Two Medicine Missing and Murdered Indigenous People. This group, which runs solely on volunteers, shares information, raises awareness, and organizes searches for the missing. And they do this primarily through Facebook. So I will also link their information in the show notes down below. According to the Missing Persons Database for Montana, as of today, 188 individuals are listed as missing.
Wow.
Of those 188, 53 of those missing people are Indigenous people. In 2021, the FBI confirmed they are still actively investigating Matthew's death, but there just hasn't been any new news since then.
Right.
Again, if you have any information regarding Matthew's case, please contact the FBI's Salt Lake City field office at 833-345-7872, or you can call them at 801-579-1400. The FBI is currently offering a reward of up to $10,000 for information that leads to an arrest in Matthew's murder.
That's no chump change. That's a lot of money.
It's not.
And you just have to, like, to
that's
say
enough
what you
to
know.
Disappear. Yeah. Like, you can tell them and then get the frack out of there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're scared to come forward, or, you know something and you just don't want to say anything because you don't want to get involved, like, $10,000, that's a lot with 10 grand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to share Matthew's case today. For so many reasons. I have a soft spot for the missing and murdered Indigenous people. And anytime I see, a missing person or an unsolved case, I always try to share it either on our Instagram or here on the podcast. So when I came across Matthew's case, I knew I needed to share it. So,
yeah.
But that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review. And until next time, keep it human.
Bye.